What the church must realize is that the uncompleted task of Bible translation is one of the greatest challenges facing the church in this century. And we cannot share it. Let me give you a snapshot of a typical Bible translation program. One of the greatest problems that we face completing the task is that the 2,200 plus Bibleless peoples are tribal languages. Tribal languages. And the problem is that most of them have not been written yet. No written form of the language. Now that's a problem. What do we do about that? Well, our Christian linguists, very highly trained, very highly qualified, will go and live among those people. Study the language, learn the language, analyze the grammar, analyze the tonal system, and then begin to form an alphabet for that language. Having done that, to do a dictionary for that language. All this has to be done before the translation actually begins. It is hugely time-consuming work. The average New Testament takes between 12 and 18 years to complete. But it gets done. It gets done. God wants it done. And when his workers are faithful, having been equipped, God promises that he will equip us for every good deed he wants us to do. It gets done. Not every language wants a written repository of scripture. There are very significant numbers of tribal cultures who are oral learners and communicators. They communicate all the great tenets of their culture and of their religion, their pagan religion, from generation to generation, through stories. That's how they want to hear anything important, and that's how they learn anything important. What do we do about that? Well, we have got stories. We've got the epic stories of the Bible. And so a major part of Bible translation is creating oral Bibles and the telling of scripture stories, creation by the one true God of our world, and God's plan of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many come to faith in Christ through the hearing and learning of Bible stories. The church is growing dynamically in Latin America, Africa, increasingly in Asia. And there is a new ministry in Bible translation among a rather marginalized people group in the context of Christian mission. People who have really been neglected for too long. People who are born deaf, congenitally deaf. Now you might think, well, sadly they are deaf, but they're not blind. Can they not read the scripture in the language of their own society? No. We learn our mother tongue, our language, by hearing it. That's how we learn. You have to hear the language to learn it. So their mother tongue Bible has to be in sign language. And we, 3 years ago, began a major translation enterprise to translate scripture into sign language. And I confess, I'm a trained, experienced journalist, but I naively thought that there is sort of one universal sign language for deaf people. Not at all. There are more than 100. So this is a huge task. And so, Elizabeth and I are representatives to the Church's Four Wycliffe Bible Translators, and we come here today to raise awareness, because we find that there are many in the churches who aren't aware of the uncompleted task of Bible translation. They can't assume that it's either been done or everybody can understand it in a major language of wider understanding, such as English or French or Spanish. No, it doesn't work like that. Let me tell you how Wycliffe began. A team of evangelists went to South America to evangelize among tribal people, and because South America had been colonized by Spain, they took scripture materials in Spanish. Okay, reasonable. Until they encountered the leader of a major tribe who rejected these out of hand. And this is what he said to them. It's a quotation famous in the Annals of Bible Translation. He said this: "Try to understand what God's book is saying to my heart in someone else's language is like eating a banana with the skin on." They got the message. They went back and started with it. So we are here today to illuminate your understanding and to stir your hearts, to ask you to encourage us in this task. Elizabeth and I came to live in Fife just over 2 years ago from Dumfriesshire. We lived near the Solway Firth. And one of the most exciting things every winter was the arrival from the Arctic geese flying in to overwinter in Scotland. A thrilling sight and a thrilling sound, because you could hear them coming in. They were honking. Honking. Why do geese honk? They honk to spur each other on. That long arduous journey, they honk to encourage one another. And we ask you not to honk, but we ask you to encourage us in specific ways that each church can do, and each individual in the church. We ask you, for example, perhaps to go. We see a lot of glazed eyes when we say that. I'm no linguist. My time of life, I'm not going to Africa. No. Every major Christian mission working abroad has a crucial need for support workers. People who are a helping hand to keep translation going, and a huge range of tasks need to be done. We have pilots, we have nurses, we have doctors, we have engineers, we have IT operators, we have teachers to teach people in the schools where the children of translators are educated, and so on. And these support workers are needed long term and also short term. Now that's what Elizabeth and I did. We took early retirement, and first of all, we went to Papua New Guinea for a year, just north of Australia. Wycliffe has a huge operation there, and Elizabeth is a retired teacher, so she taught in the school. My career was in the BBC World Service, where we are trained to communicate to people whose first language is not English. So I was used in communication projects. It was a wonderful adventure for the Lord. There were many people of our age, there, short term and long term. We were just actually reminding ourselves of the pidgin language that's spoken in Papua New Guinea. They speak over 800 languages, by the way. It's an astonishing diversity of languages. But they do have a pidgin language for communication in the marketplace and so on. It's a very limited vocabulary, but it's pretty essential. We've got so many languages. And the word in their pidgin language for hair is grass. Grass. They used to call Elizabeth White Grass. And for some reason they called me No Grass. But it is a terrific adventure for the Lord, and I really encourage everyone here to consider and to pray about the possibility of being a helping hand in mission. You can also give. Now, we're a faith mission. Our translators are not paid salaries. They depend on the support, financial support of God's people in the churches. And we heard in that passage in 2 Corinthians, Paul praising that church which gave so sacrificially to help the apostles proclaim the word of God in other countries. Giving can be sacrificial. There are so many needs for us to give to support. But when you give to Christian mission, such as Bible translation, just know this. You are resonating with the very heart of God Himself. He is a mission man, and He blesses the giving of His people. Most important of all, you can pray. That is the engine of Christian mission, the prayer of God's people in the churches. We've brought along literature, free literature, telling exciting stories about Bible translation. Please take one of them today. But in addition, to help people pray to what might be a new topic of prayer for you, your personal prayers, you might be feeling, oh, how do I wrap my own prayers about such a huge issue? Well, we've got just the thing for you. It's called the Wycliffe Prayer Moment. It's a 30-second prayer need that you read each day, a real one, and a 30-second prayer to pray about that need. The Wycliffe Prayer Moment. Now, this is different from our other literature because we don't bring it along and leave it lying on the table. Nor do we just hand it out to everybody and ask for it. Nor do we send it through the mail and request it. We bring it to our services for those in the congregation who feel God stirring their hearts to pray. Yes. Yes, Lord, I will pray. If that's you, then please ask us for one before we leave. We'll be at the door. We'll be delighted to give you a week of prayer moment. Finally, where is it all heading? The work of Christian mission, of which Bible translation is such an essential part. What will that final conclusion be? Well, we know. We know because Scripture tells us. God gave a vision of the final heavenly climax to come to John. And it's recorded in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. The final heavenly climax to come. I'm going to read this to you in these closing moments. And as I do, know this. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be there. We will be there as part of a mighty heavenly throne. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. You get that? Every language. It's going to happen. It's God's purpose, there's no question about that. The only question is what part you and I would have played in.